So I am no longer Violet Glaze because I divorced Dr. Glaze. And it was a bad divorce, as many of you may have experienced here. And the side effect of which was I swore off love, and I was done with it. I was going to work on my art and my writing and my son. Everything was going to be great from here on out. And I went to a party, and I never believed in love at first sight until it happened to me. There was this guy there, this kind of tall, rangy, punk rock, Sid Vicious-y looking guy with this, you know, this fangy grin and, like, you know, bike grease under his nails. And I, you know, we were just, and miraculously he felt the same way about me. And we were together for a year, and it was the happiest year of my life. But I broke up with him for reasons that I won't get into to protect his privacy. But if I told you these reasons, you would say, yeah, that was the only thing you could do. And making that decision was like chewing off my own arm. So they say that it takes half the amount of time that you were with someone to get over them. So I had broken up with them in January, and a whole year had gone through, and I'd done everything to try to get over them. And January was coming up again, and it didn't even make a dent in how awful I felt. And I've been doing, you know, a lot of things, doing a lot of reading, you know, trying to keep myself busy. And I'd been doing some reading about hoodoo, which is a folk magic practice with African-American roots. And if you've ever heard a blues song where they talk about, you know, got my mojo working, or, you know, at the crossroads, or don't look back, that's all terminology that comes from hoodoo. And one of the things you can do in hoodoo is take dirt from someone's grave to cast spells. And it very specific grave, like if you want protection, you can take dirt from a soldier's grave, for example. And it was about this time that I found out that Nancy Spungen is buried in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, which is about 2 hours from here. I don't know if you know about Sid and Nancy. They were kind of like the punk rock Romeo and Juliet. He was the bassist for the Sex Pistols, and she was his American girlfriend. And they were inseparable, and they adored each other. But they had a pretty chaotic lifestyle because both of them were junkies. And they were living in New York's Hotel Chelsea. And one night, he passed out. And when he came to, she'd been stabbed to death. She was 20 at the time, and I think he was also 20. And he was arrested for her murder. It's really sort of unclear about what happened, especially to him. But 4 months later, while out on bail, he died of a heroin overdose that was probably not accidental. So I got it in my head that on Valentine's Day, I'm going to go to Bensalem to the grave. And the other thing about that, she died, and his mother wanted to have him buried next to her. His mother called her mother and asked this, and her mother said no for a number of reasons. One is that it's a Jewish cemetery and Sid wasn't Jewish. And also, your son may have murdered my daughter, so doesn't really put a parent in a generous mood. So he was cremated, but his mother took a transatlantic flight and snuck into the cemetery and put his ashes on her grave. So I'm going to go to this grave where Sid and Nancy both are in some form or another, and I'm going to take dirt and cast a love spell to find me somebody new. So in hoodoo, you can't just you know, grab a handful of dirt from the ground. You have to pay for it. The traditional way that you pay for it is with whiskey and a silver dime. So for the dime part, I got a Susan B. Anthony dollar with like a minting in the late 70s because I figured she would recognize that. And for him, I found a 5 pence coin. And I got like a little, you know, bottle of whiskey, but I had a feeling that they would probably want something else. So I talked to a friend of mine who has some contacts in the underground economy. And I said, can I buy one OxyContin from you? Can I? And he's like, I don't know if I can get you. I can get you Xanax. I can get you Klonopin. That'll f*** you up pretty good. And I was like, no, it's not for me. It's not for me. I just need an opiate. And I told him the story. He's like, well, why don't you just buy them heroin? I mean, I can talk to some people. At that point, I realized that I'm scoring drugs for dead people. And My life has really gotten a little more complex than I need it to be right now. So what I did instead was I got some poppy seeds and I put them in the whiskey and I kind of made like a little tincture for them. So on Valentine's Day, I have all my gifts. Oh, and I also have an empty baby food jar for the dirt that I'm going to collect. I rented a car. I don't own a car, so I rented a car. This is how motivated I am. I get two red roses, and I drive up to Bensalem. And I get there. It's a kind of a sparse suburban cemetery. You know, it's like a lot of graveyards have like ornate kind of statuary and stuff. This is very modest. And all the graves are just sort of these flat plaques on the ground. And I'm looking around like, I don't even know where to begin. But then one of the workers sees me. And it's like, you know, look at me. And he yells out of his truck, "Hey, I know who you're looking for." And I'm like, "Yeah, where is she?" He's like, "She's over there." So I go over there, and sure enough, there she is. And there's other little, I'm not the first person to have been there. There's cigarettes and stones since it's a Jewish cemetery and everything. So I've never asked for dirt from a grave before. I don't really know how to do this. So I start with the gifts. I say, "Hello, Sid. Hello, Nancy." I put the coins in the dirt. I pour out my whiskey bottle. Nobody's watching me, you know. And I say, "Is it all right if I take dirt from your grave for a love spell?" It's no answer. So I get my little baby food jar and I kneel down on the ground. It's like all muddy and gross and I start scooping in it. And all of a sudden I get this very strong feeling of like this, no, 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 no. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I dump out that dirt really quick and the feeling goes away. It's like, that was a little strange. And all of a sudden I get this other residual feeling of like somebody really giving me the stink eye of like, who are you and what do you want? And I think that was Nancy. And I kneel down on the ground, and I try to tell her about the guy that I loved, and how crazy I was about him, and how empty my life is right now, and how I've got 30 years to go if I'm lucky, and all I can see is just this parched vista. And maybe she doesn't know what that means, what that feels like, you know, because she died first. But Sid knows what that feels like. Because he could only stand it for 4 months. And I don't want to die, but I really just want this feeling to go away. And I want you to help me. Please just find me somebody that could love me as much as he loved you. Please just help me. And I started crying. And I'm kneeling on the dirt, and it's like slushy and muddy, and the sky is overcast, and it's Valentine's Day, and I'm sobbing in a graveyard by myself. And there's nothing. I get no feeling. She's not interested in helping me. And then I feel really pathetic and stupid and kind of creeped out, to be honest. And I just want to go home. So I get up and I dust my hands off and I turn around to leave. I'm walking back to the car and I'm just thinking, man, that did not go the way I wanted it to. And all of a sudden I get this very strong come back, come back, come back, come back, come back kind of feeling. And I'm like, honestly, this is the last thing I want to do right now. But this feeling persists. Come back, come back, come back, come back. And I'm like, fine, all right, all right. I turn around and I'm walking back to the grave, and I honestly don't know why I'm doing this. I get to within 5 paces of her grave when it hits me. She wants me to bring her more drugs. And I say out loud, no, I'm not bringing you more drugs. Happy Valentine's Day. And I leave. So the thing is now, after this experience, when I go to graveyards, the dead talk to me all the time because I think they know I can hear them. And this November, I went out to L.A. for the first time, and I went to Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which is where a lot of movie stars are buried. And Rudolph Valentino talked to me. Vampira talked to me. She told me to leave her alone, but I think that was a conversation. Didi Ramon is nice in the afterlife. And the thing is, if I was still with this guy, I never would have learned that I could do that because he was this super hyper-rational atheist and he thought that any kind of, you know, spiritual woo-woo was just self-delusion. And even, I still have a hard time explaining this to people because they're like, well, what do you mean that the dead talk to you? I said, it's hard to explain. It's not always. Sometimes it's just kind of a thought that pops in my head. And sometimes it's really like they sort of grab me and they want me to look at them right where they are. And as I was leaving the cemetery that day, that happened for the first time. I was just walking back to my car, and all of a sudden it was like this, look. And there's a large tombstone down on the ground. It was a married couple, and they died older, like in their 70s. But written on the stone, it said, "We met on Valentine's Day, and we were married on New Year's Eve." And when you're with the person that you're really meant to be with, every day is Valentine's Day, and every night is New Year's Eve. So this Valentine's Day, I got my whiskey, I got my dime, I got my two roses, and I'm going to rent a car, and I'm going to go see them. So thank you.
Violet Levois, sharing in front of a live audience at Center Stage at the Stute Storytelling event, Modern Love. You can hear the rest of the stories from that night online at stoopstorytelling.com.